You want to know why major gift officers are leaving so often? I mean, you've heard recently how over 50% of fundraisers are going to leave their organization in the next year. It's a major problem in our industry. Join Richard and me for a lively conversation on why this is happening and what can be done to turn the tide of turnover. If you're a manager or leader, I beg you to listen to the full podcast so that we can give you some good strategies to help you keep good major gift talent.
Welcome to the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group, featuring Richard Perry and Jeff Schreifels. Twice a month, we bring you the latest and best thinking about major gift fundraising, so you can develop authentic relationships with your major donors. Here are your hosts, Richard and Jeff.
Welcome to the podcast. Today, Richard and I are going to talk about one of the biggest problems in our industry. This is keeping good people, especially major gift officers. Depending on the source, major gift officers, they're jumping around every 1.8 to 2.3 years.
Now, isn't that amazing, Jeff? I mean, it's like, how much money have people spent just hiring them? Thousands and thousands of dollars searching.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds interviewing. Of thousands.
I know. And they're going out the door at that rate. I mean, it's amazing.
This obviously presents a lot of problems for nonprofits, the success of major gifts, and for the building of relationships with donors, right? So, Richard, let's talk about this and figure out how nonprofits can help good people. So, my first question is this. Why are MGOs changing jobs so much?
Well, I mean, I think one of the big reasons, Jeff, is a culture in the organization where everybody is focused on the money rather than building, you know, the relationship and with donors.
Right.
And this is so counterintuitive because, like we've said in all of our writings, is like, okay, now let's stop and think about this. We are trying to get the money. Because we have a budget,
of course,
and it could be thousands, millions of dollars, depending on what organization you have. So that is an objective. We've got to get the money. So what we've been saying to folks in our writings, the way we get the money is by having a perfect match between the donor's passions and interests and the needs of the organization. And then if you do that, that actually causes the money to come in. But how many stories do we have of managers? I remember one in the East Coast, in the Northeast,
where
I was sitting with a major gift officer and the authority figure came in, a CEO, and we were trying to explain how we were doing things. And he was all impatient. And he basically said, look, I don't care about your strategies and your philosophies. Just get me the money. He actually said it.
Yeah.
And by the way, I want new money.
Yeah, I know.
And by new money, he meant don't be talking to those old donors.
Right.
Which
a whole nother podcast.
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, that's one big reason. The focus on the money instead of focusing on the donor.
Here's what I found in organizations that just are focused on that money is that it's all fear-based.
Mm-hmm.
So they're focused, get me the money. So behind all of that is they're afraid they're not going to get the money.
Oh, exactly.
And so it's fear that the board puts on the executive director. And that runs down to the development director, which runs down to the major gift officer. And they're all afraid that if they don't get the money, something bad is going to happen to them. And so they're just in this constant fear. And so they make stupid decisions. I'm just going to ask that donor for $100,000, even though I have no relationship with them.
Or abuse the relationship and speed things up when they don't want to go there. So the focus on the money is one big one. Another one is really having very little to offer the donor or having nothing to offer the donor. And by that, we mean basically, look, if you've identified the passions and interests of a donor, then doesn't it follow logically that you're going to say to the donor, well, here's something.
Right.
But it's sort of like a customer in a retail store coming in and saying, you know, I want to buy shirts.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, hey, let's go over to the tool section. like really?
Here's a wrench for you.
Yeah. Why don't you take a wrench? You don't need a shirt. And I know that sounds absurd if you're listening to it. I mean, if you're processing what I just said, but it's like, that's what happens.
It happens all the time.
All the time. So we're just going to do the switcheroo with the donor because, you know, they just love us.
Yeah.
And so since they love us so much,
they'll obviously support these kids, even though they've been giving to the elderly stuff for years.
Exactly. So, so this whole problem of donor offers is a huge thing. And you know, we've had a whole, service that we do for nonprofits where we actually help, you know, construct donor offers, yeah. taking the budget of the organization and reframing that entire budget into donor right. offers. Why? Because that's the product in quotes that the major gift
you know, has. One of the things that happens when we meet with organizations and we sit around their conference table and then the leaders leave and we still have the major gift officers around the table. It's like, then the truth comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Their biggest thing is, you know, we're asked to raise all this money, but we don't have anything to sell. Right?
I know.
And so but then there's all this pressure on us to get undesignated funds or, you know, all this. And we know that our donors aren't going to give to this. And yet we've got all this pressure to make these goals and we're not doing it because we can't get out there and have something tangible to offer our donors.
Yeah. And as much as we talk about this, Jeff, it's people don't understand it. So we keep going back to the retail store. Why is a retail store, any store that you go into, when you're going in to go shopping for something and you walk in that front door and you go to those aisles, you're finding product.
Right.
And that product is organized by certain categories. And in those categories are certain price points and various things that are going on. That's what ought to be happening in the nonprofit retail store.
That's right.
Where you walk in and you can say, oh, there's my aisle.
Yep.
And there's what I want to buy, in quotes. And so that's another big reason is there's not donor offers. I mean, another one is unrealistic goals.
Well, that goes right into it.
So, I mean, like, how are most goals set?
Well, it's like,
gross,
last year, you as a team brought in, let's just say, 5 million. This year, you need to bring in 5.7. Or this year you need to bring in 7.5.
Or like we're going to go up by 18%. And
yeah, like why? Well, based on what?
Yeah.
Well, because the senior leadership is saying we've got to grow this much.
We were off on a retreat and it just dawned on us.
Yeah, I know. And so then it's all figured out. Okay, now my caseload has to grow by the same amount. Everyone's caseload. You have to grow by 20% next year. How am I going to do that?
So what's interesting about that, Jeff, because you know, the way we do goals is we basically do a goal by donor.
Right.
Now, why do we do a goal by donor? Because that's the smallest economic unit that when you sum all those units up, you get to what's realistic that those units can actually produce economically. That actually makes sense.
That's logical.
Yeah. But it hardly is ever done that way. And so then you set the unrealistic goals and it's like, okay, here's what we're
doing. The pressure, if you got an unrealistic goal, the pressure as it gets towards the end of the year is so much on those. I mean, that's why they leave. They just have all this pressure on them and they know it's unrealistic. And so they're doing things with donors that they wouldn't normally do. Because they've got to reach a goal.
Yep.
Or they're out.
Yep,
exactly. Or they're fired.
So unrealistic goals is a big one. How about changing expectations?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean like, you know what, Jeff, major gift officer, we did the budgeting wrong. We actually made a mistake and we need another 500,000. It's like,
yes. Okay.
And by the way, and you could, I mean, I've heard the 500,000 figure, but you know, in some of the major charities and nonprofits we work with in the United States and mm-hmm. Canada and in Europe, those numbers could be big. Like, well, you know what? We have a variance here of 1 million or 2 million. I mean, it gets to be huge numbers.
Yeah.
Or another thing is like, well, now we don't need you to do just the major gift thing.
Yeah.
Why don't you do some other kind of work?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. You know, another one, the biggest one, I think, is that the reason major gift officers leave is because they just have a bad manager.
Mm-hmm.
If you take polls on for-profit and nonprofit, mm-hmm. this is the number one reason people leave and go to another job.
Right.
And gosh.
How many of those have you been around incompetent bad managers. I mean, it's like, hello.
I know.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is, I mean, essentially, this is why we exist as a company, even at Veritas, right? We're helping manage good people to make them successful.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just focused on them and their success. And it's just funny how nonprofit leaders don't get this. They don't understand the value of managers.
Well, you were just telling me a story this morning as we were driving into the studio here about an organization that hired somebody that had no experience. I mean, it's a major, major position in a $60 million organization. This person has no experience whatsoever in development or anything about donors. Like, now why would you do that? I don't get it. But that happens a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
So they leave for incompetent managers. Ugh.
Or another one is the job doesn't fit. I mean, the major gift officer's motivated abilities actually don't match the job. And we tell folks about this. It's like, look, if you find that that's happening to you, you're saying to yourself in the dead of night when you're processing your life and your job and so on, you know what? This doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Then you ought to listen to those voices because, you know, if you actually know whether I know you need the revenue. I mean, I've been in those kind of situations too. We all need the revenue. But to be in a job where you can't deliver because you don't have the abilities to do it is not because you're a bad person.
No.
It's not. You're actually a very good person.
Yeah.
But there's not a match.
We see this all the time. It's great, though, when we can help a major gift officer move out of that position when they realize this isn't really who I am.
Mm-hmm.
We want everyone to be successful. It doesn't necessarily mean that they need to be successful in major gifts.
Right, right.
You know, it's a different kind of job. And it takes a certain kind of person.
Yes. And so if you're listening to us and you're in that situation, you know, take steps. I mean, you know, don't just quit today because you need that paycheck, but do something about it. I think the last thing that we've encountered too, Jeff, is this whole business of getting asked to do other things.
Yes.
Rather than manage a caseload.
Now, go out and run the gala.
Go do the event.
Yeah.
Pick up the board member at the airport.
All those things.
I mean.
Could you do the direct response program here too? That's happened.
Yeah. We discovered you're a good writer. You know, why don't you write these things? Why don't you produce this brochure?
Right.
Or you're great on, the office suite of, you know, to produce brochures or whatever.
So Adobe. And by the way, you got to keep the goal.
Yeah.
You know, stay focused on your caseload, but here's a bunch of other stuff you got to do.
Now, in all of these, I mean, these are all the reasons. Now, that we've been pretty negative during this whole, like, listing all these seven, eight reasons. But what do they do? Like, what do you do about some of this stuff?
Well, I mean, you've really got to, one, take stock of, okay, is this what you want to do here?
Right.
Right. And then you, as we've talked a lot about before, is you can only control what you do.
Right.
So if you love this work and you love the mission, then you need to do everything in your power to stay true to your donors and take care of your donors. I don't care if your boss is telling you got to make this 18% increase and you know that it can only be a 10% because you're really looking at your caseload. You got to remain true to your donors.
And you got to take care of yourself too.
That's right.
In the process. So take care of your donors, take care of yourself. And as we've said before, is in the kind of culture where you have these kinds of things going on, try to be part of the change
in
terms of like, well, we don't have donor offers. Well, let's figure out how to fix that. I mean, if you need us to come in and help with that, we do that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how many major gift officers say, we need to have you guys come in here. And we say, okay, well, let's talk to your boss. And we start a conversation and it, you know, sometimes that works out.
And we have a number of those kinds of engagements. And, but the point is there's a solution to each of these things.
That's
right. And what we suggest you do is you pursue that solution in terms of helping people understand that they shouldn't focus on the money, but actually honor the donors.
Yep.
And developing donor offers, talking about how goals need to be based on, you know, what the individual donor can do, not just some percentage.
Yep.
And then when there's changing expectations, getting people to come back to the notion that, look, these donors represent an economic asset to the organization, and they represent an economic value. You can't just, so you're helping maybe a manager understand, you can't just change that,
right?
Or wish it to be something that it isn't.
Yeah.
So helping them understand that. And of course, if the job doesn't fit, I mean, we've suggested that you really, and we do this with people, you really ought to find another place to serve.
You know, and we say, if you're actually a manager of Major Gifts and you're listening right now, I really think, and Richard, you can see if this is right or not, but I really think you should look at trying to keep a Major Gift officer for at least 5 years.
Exactly.
And what would you need to do to make that happen? It's not just about money, salary.
It isn't.
But everything else around it.
So
if you're a manager, how can I break out of that 1.8 to 2.3 mold and keep these folks for the long term? Because these donors need relationships, right?
Well, and what we would suggest is if you're the manager, make a list of these reasons they leave.
Yeah.
That we've just gone over. Make a list of those things and then proactively address each other.
Exactly.
That's what you should do.
That's right. Well, thank you for joining us today. We want to offer you a free white paper of ours. Go to veritasgroup.com and click under our resources, our download button, and get the white paper, Why You Should Be a Major Gift Officer. It's got some really good stuff in there.
It does.
And even if you're a major gift officer, it actually will reinforce why you're doing this and hopefully inspire you as you go along in your major gift journey. So
yes.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group. Richard and Jeff also write an ongoing blog that you can subscribe to for free at veritasgroup.com. Please join us again next time.